Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Hey, we're back. 644, just 645 actually, just changed over here in Lansing, Thursday evening. WILS, thanks for joining us. So could variations in the circadian or daily rhythms of our internal clocks play a role in bipolar disorder? Danny Forger is an associate professor at the University of Michigan Department of Mathematics, and he's going to be leading a $1 million international study to find out. He joins me now to tell me more about it. Danny, thanks for coming on the program this evening.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So how does a mathematics professor get involved in studying circadian rhythms and bipolar disorder?
Well, I should say more generally that mathematics now is used to study a lot of biological problems. There's a new field of mathematical biology, and this is because biology is very complicated, and we need mathematics to understand how all the components interact with each other.
In terms of previous uses and discoveries made with mathematics when it comes to biological issues, are there any examples you can point to?
Oh, yes, there are many examples. From the fundamental behavior of neurons to the spread of disease to something I've been involved with is schedule design and figuring out how people can work at peak performances and avoid jet lag. So there are many possible examples of this.
Huh. So what's leading to this study? Is there already some evidence that there's a tie between circadian rhythm and mental illness?
Yes, in particular, bipolar disorder. So one of the first indications was that people started to look for what genes are associated with bipolar disorder, and many of the genes they turned up happened to be involved in this circadian clock, this daily clock that tells your body what time it is. Lithium, one of the most common treatments, has a very strong effect on the circadian clock. And another is patients who are manic, one of the most effective treatments is to force them to live a 24-hour day. And if you do this, this will often bring them out of their manic episode. So there are a lot of links between the circadian clock and bipolar disorder, even though one might not think about it that way. There are a couple other links. For instance, some of your listeners may have heard of seasonal affective disorder. Certain people tend to get depressed during the winter. What's happening there is this daily clock in your brain is determining how much light there is, and from that determining whether it's winter or spring or summer. And if it thinks it's winter, it could cause people to go into a depression.
I'm talking to Danny Forger, an associate professor at the University of Michigan Department of Mathematics, about his upcoming research into the connection between the circadian clock and bipolar disorder. So, Danny, if you're involved as a mathematician, I'm guessing we're talking about minute variances in the circadian clock and the way it operates that might be causing the disorder?
So it actually sends out pretty strong signals. In fact, it sends out a very unique signal to the rest of the body and the rest of the brain. So what we're doing is we're taking a lot of experimental data from this region of the brain, which has about 20,000 neurons, which are all doing very complicated things, and trying to figure out what the overall signals are to the body.
I see. Now, are we talking about change, a difference of circadian rhythms between people that might be just off by several minutes or something, or how? What kind of a variance are you actually looking into that might be causing or connected to bipolar disorder?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. The clock in your brain that tells time, daily time, is accurate to minutes a day. So if it's off by even a couple minutes, that could send a pretty strong signal. But we actually think it could be very off, and that could lead to major mood episodes.
I see. As in, it potentially could just be unstable and inconsistent?
Yes, or erratic. And in fact, a previous study of ours showed how different parts of the clock can send off different signals, which could be very confusing for the body.
Now, you're working with researchers in Germany and Japan on this project. Is there a particular reason why it is this international study rather than one that's focused here in the U.S.?
Sure. So actually, I should mention it's actually Manchester, England, and Hiroshima, Japan. And the idea was to get the world's experts on three different topics to start talking to each other. So we're mathematicians who study biological rhythms, in particular this daily clock in the brain. The group in Japan is the world expert on monitoring the clock and seeing what state and what time of day the clock thinks it is in individual cells. And the group in England is the expert on seeing how these neurons communicate with each other and communicate with the rest of the world. So we all came together through this foundation called the Human Frontiers of Science Program and put in a grant. And they don't fund many grants, one out of 20 or so, but somehow we got it. So, but
this is a very, you're working with animals here. Humans are not involved in any way in terms of being subjects in the study?
Yes, this is simply an animal study, and it's very helpful because in animals we could actually remove this clock from the brain and study it and do all sorts of manipulations that, of course, one could never do in a human. We certainly are very interested in clinical applications and possible therapies that this would lead to, but that won't be for, let's say, another 5 years.
I see, and you're essentially looking at this very, this grain of rice-sized a piece of the brain, and you're looking to see how the type of chemical reactions that are occurring that cause this instability in the time clock, potentially?
Yes, and we're very interested, as you point out correctly, it's a very small region of the brain that functions as this clock, and we're really interested in the basic biological mechanisms for how that timekeeping comes about. And even separate from bipolar disorder, studying this region in our studies, we think, will certainly help with a lot of other disorders. It'll help with sleep disorders. It'll help people overcome jet lag. Again, this is very much in the future, but we would understand the basic mechanisms of this timekeeping.
I mean, is this research into the circadian clock, I mean, is this the underlying problem potentially for many people who have problems falling asleep? I mean, is it all tied into one thing, or is that a separate problem?
Oh, it is. And this one region of the brain, as you say, very small, controls all sorts of things. It's been linked to cancer, for instance. People who work on shift work or people who work on airplanes have a much higher incidence of, say, breast cancer. It's been linked to heart attacks. You may know people typically have heart attacks early in the morning. It's been linked to Alzheimer's disease. It's amazing how important this small region of the brain is. And I think the reason for this is life on Earth is fundamentally daily. It's fundamentally 24 hours. We live a 24-hour day, and so this is the way the body copes with that, having a region of the brain that controls almost everything and is able to time it.
Now, from what I understand, you said that this is going to be focusing on genetic factors, although isn't a lot of this stuff due to stress?
Yeah, so I should also mention that I'm an expert on biological rhythms, and I'm very interested in bipolar because it is a rhythm, but it's a very erratic rhythm, and particularly because there are all sorts of factors that go into triggering a manic episode or a depressive episode, stress, as you mentioned, many other factors, comorbidity. So we don't think we'll ever get to the point where we could say, patient A is going to have a manic episode in 5 hours. But we could understand something about this timekeeping clock that could help have a patient come out of that episode. Or could say, the clock is in a particular state, so perhaps they have a much more likely chance of triggering a manic or depressive episode.
Well, on the flip side, I'm guessing there's a real interest in finding out how to shut the brain down, because it seems like the larger problem in the developed world now is people are not able to sleep.
Yeah, so, the brain doesn't actually shut down but during sleep, but triggering sleep and is a very important problem, especially in, as you say, the developing world. So many of us live on non-24-hour schedules. 10% of the workforce lives on shifts, and this actually has real implications for human health. It could trigger depression, as we're talking about today, but also lead to all sorts of other disorders.
Well, it certainly is interesting with a mathematics background, again, that you're involved in this. It sounds like your knowledge and your general interest in the topic go far beyond the mathematic part of it. Can you give me even kind of a sliver of a viewpoint of how the mathematics is going to be incorporated into this?
Yes. So what we actually do, and the amazing thing is how powerful computers are. So because this is a very small region of the brain, we could develop a model that will track every neuron in it, and basically every one of the relevant proteins, and every one of the signals that are sent on a millisecond timescale between all these. And from all this, then we could use algorithms to understand the signaling that's going on. So that's really what we're doing. We're trying to make a model of that on a computer, a very accurate model, and we have some that work quite well, and then analyze that, because it's a whole lot easier to study this mathematical model and to understand it than to do experiments. Once we have an idea, then we go to our collaborators in Hiroshima or in Manchester and have them test it.
I see. Well, in some ways, it's amazing that this kind of close study has not been done before.
Yeah, well, I should mention that there are a bunch of other areas where mathematics has been used in great detail to understand biology. My PhD advisor actually studied fluid flow in the heart and was able to develop a new heart valve. That was one of the applications. Though I should mention this particular study, certainly thinking about circadian timekeeping, or actually mathematical models of bipolar disorder, is a vast open subject that we're very excited to be one of the first people studying.
Danny Forger, associate professor at the University of Michigan Department of Mathematics. Danny, thank you very much. Interesting stuff.
Yes, it's been a pleasure.
And we're coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.